fund the program. He also says, by the way, the pizza is an incentive to behave or risk having pizza privileges removed. Bill Rakoff, CBS News.
What does a school bell bring to mind? The day's end or the end of school entirely? As in, kids dropping out. At Communities in Schools, we're helping at-risk students whose ability to show up for school is jeopardized by hardships.
They've always had my back. They've always done anything to help me.
Anytime I needed support, they were there.
We work in schools to help kids stay in school.
Communities in Schools never gave up on me. They told me I can do it, and I did it.
See how we help all students succeed at communitiesinschools.org.
Do you have trouble falling asleep and toss and turn all night? You need to try Sleep Answer, a new time-released sleep aid at GNC. Developed by an MIT sleep expert, Sleep Answer works with your body's natural sleep cycle, so you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up feeling great. Sleep Answer's dual-release capsule delivers the first dose of melatonin so you fall asleep fast, and the second dissolves over time so you sleep all night. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. Rise and shine with Sleep Answer. Ask for Sleep Answer at GNC. Only at GNC.
Tyler Dreiling with a look at your weather forecast this afternoon. Currently in the Little Apple, 84 degrees under fair skies. For tonight, a 20% chance of showers and storms after 4 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 62 degrees. For your Saturday, a 40% chance of showers and storms, mostly cloudy with a high near 80. And tomorrow night, a 20% chance of rain before 1, otherwise mostly cloudy with a low around 56 degrees. A Friday edition of The Game is next on KMAN.
Weather is powered by Eastside and Westside Markets. Stop by Eastside Market next to the Super 8 or Westside Market across from Briggs on K18. It's game time, driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling. Mitch Fortner will be joining us shortly. This has been one of the more interesting weeks for the show. And Tyler's back from vacation, but Mitch has to go pick up some pants.
What year is it? Why am I over here?
He's got to go pick up some pants. I kid you not. So he'll be back hopefully in time for the match game at 5:10. We're with you until just 5:30 today. We're going to recap a lot of what we did this week with Tyler here in the open. I'm going to give him a little hot take rapid fire since he missed 4 days worth of shows this week. So if you were wondering what Tyler thought about everything we talked about this entire week, you're going to get it bang, 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 bang here in the open. At 4:40, we'll talk with Chris Thomason. He's a Vikings beat writer. I want to get the scoop on the chances that Elijah Lee makes that Vikings roster. There was a lot of conversation about him and his decision to go pro early, whether or not that was a good choice by him. We'll get some more insight on that at 4:40. An update on DJ Johnson as well at 4:50. As always, to communicate with the show, we're on Twitter at TheGameKMAN. You can also tweet myself, JL Kurtz. You can call the show 537-1350 or toll-free 866-776-1350. I have no poll question for you today, but I'll ask you, Tyler. I guess I'll include this. This is part of the hot take rapid fire. This was my poll question yesterday. Did you see it yesterday on Twitter?
Let's see. Was it the one about who has the best chance to have a breakout season?
No,
was that
no.
The day before?
Earlier in the week.
Okay, sorry.
This one's better.
Okay.
Which one of these would be the most exciting? Watching TCU at Vanderbilt in the Big 12
that.
SEC Challenge, going to the DMV, or watching Undisputed on FS1?
I know that you don't want me to answer it this way, but I'd still watch TCU and Vanderbilt.
No, get out of
here. I still would.
Get all the way out of here.
I don't love it, but, you know, it's better than the DMV. I know that.
Before I give you a hot take rapid fire, how was the vacation?
Good.
Besides not asking Wesley Owundu for an updated phone number, how was vacation?
It was good. I was not expecting to run into Wesley Owundu in the Orlando Magic locker room, but it was good. We saw a high school graduation of someone who's very close with our family, a wonderful young woman who's going to be going on to Florida State, and you know, got a chance to enjoy Florida for the first time in quite a while. It's been a while since I've been down there, so it was all good. I had a good time.
But you did give me some Magic shorts?
I did, yes. They should be on their way here probably next week.
Yeah, see, that was the weird part. I do get shorts, but yet... Oh, hey! Hey, look, it's Mitch.
Hey, he's just... Oh, he's kicking me out. Okay, all right. I'll see you on the other side of the glass in 20 seconds.
This is one of the better live moments we've had on the show. Mitch is back. I assume Mitch has his pants in tow that he had to get taken care of here before the show. Y'all good to go?
Listen here. I got a wedding to go to tomorrow, and I needed some pants to be hemmed. It's short people problems, so I had those problems taken care of. And by the way, I don't know if Tyler can hear me right. I'll wait until he puts the headphones on.
Well, you know what? I was going to turn his mic off, but I feel like it's funnier if I just turn the mic on and let the whole...
get the whole audio
and
in
the
here.
Whole commotion.
Tyler is a diva when it comes to running the board.
What are you talking about?
Man.
He does not like it. He thinks he's better than this.
No.
I heard exactly what you said.
No.
What year is this? Why am I here?
No, it was because I had been gone that I said that. But no, it's because I don't want to screw it up. You do a great job with it. There's a lot of buttons to push over there. Come on, man. I'm not trying to small-time you or anything.
This show's off the rails about 2 minutes in, boys. This is good. This
good.
Is going to be a good Friday.
Yes.
I like this. Okay, so vacation was good. Now, it's not like there was a ton of really important news this week, but there was, I thought, a lot to sink your teeth into. Interestingly enough, most of it surrounding basketball this week.
Eesh.
Now you're dropping quarters all over the place.
All right, we're in good
shape. I can't get into a rhythm at all.
We're good to go.
No rhythm at all right now on the show. Okay. Hot take, rapid fire. I went back and looked at all the segments we did this week, and I tried to compile. Let's see, I've got about 9 topics here that were the most important things that we discussed this week. So I did not give you this list beforehand. I don't know how much you paid attention to what we were tweeting about, talking about throughout the week. I just want off the top of your head, real thinking about it, your initial reaction here. So you can play this one of two ways. You can give me your real actual thoughts. You can try and appease me and give me what you think I thought about these and just agree with me, be agreeable. Or you can go totally off the wall and just give me the hottest take possible that you can think of.
This is kind of related to what we had you do after you were in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So here we go. First things first. The Vegas over-under on K-State wins this year in football was set at 7.5.
Okay.
Go.
Okay. it was, 7.5 is what it was last year, and so it's...
No. That was what
That's right, what you said it at.
Vegas
it was actually
5.5.
That's right. Good point. Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think that that's probably what you would expect from Vegas, but I think the K-State, that should be the bare minimum of what they accomplished this season. So little bit of the disrespect card when a K-State team that you know is more experienced this year wins 9 games a year ago, and Vegas expects them to do worse than that when they're playing an easier schedule. A little bit surprising, but definitely good news if you're putting money on the over, I think.
What do you think my main take was on it?
About the same. I mean, basically that K-State should be better than that, and that shouldn't be the scale on which you base your level of contentment with the season.
Well, I do agree that I think you should hammer the over. But I also made the point that Vegas serves a different master than what we typically think of when people disrespect K-State, quote-unquote, in the media. Somebody making a prediction, they're trying to be right. I mean, they have credibility that they are, you know, at least in some form trying to maintain. Vegas is just trying to make money. So this is really more of a reflection on the general public because they're trying to set a number where they think they can get as much money as possible on either side there and just make money. So, to me, that was where I thought, you know, Vegas, they always talk about how good Bill Snyder is against the spread. Kelly tells us that all the time. It was basically, Vegas serves a different master, so they're going to typically be the worst offender, I would think, year in, year out, at underestimating K-State. Number two, this one a little more off the radar, but it may have bigger implications long-term for not only K-State, but the Big 12. Pac-12 schools will be paid $5 million less. Their conference payouts will be $5 million less than Big 12 schools next year and for the foreseeable future.
How come? Do we know?
Their conferences, they have to split the pie more ways, just the overall pie that they're distributing to their schools. The Pac-12 network has not done well.
Right. I would guess that has a lot to do with the fact that the Pac-12 network doesn't have a partnership with ESPN, and it's really hard to find it. It's like how Longhorn Network was at the very beginning. But that's good news for the Big 12, but it's not – it's not as significant as it was back in the days where we thought that the Pac-12 was on the verge of going Power 16 or Pac-16 with Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. So it holds less weight now, but still good for the Big 12.
Yeah, everyone thinks the Big 12 has so many problems and is incurable, and I think that narrative gets, I always use the example like a game of telephone. Somebody says it once, then you say it again to someone else, and it gets worse and worse on down the line. More exaggerated. I think that's what happens with the Big 12. Other conferences have problems too. And we still have 7 years to go before the grant of rights is up for the Pac-12, which is 1 year before the Big 12. Maybe Arizona and Arizona State, which feel like more cultural fits, more conservative, would be better for the Big 12 and would want to leave. So I think that possibility is still out there. Number three. So I give Tyler the hot take rapid fire from this week as he was gone all week on vacation. Athlon released their all Big 12 teams. Texas had more all Big 12 picks than K-State did.
Yeah, that's I don't understand that at all. And it was similar to something that I read. You know, the first Lindy's kind of comes out with the first preseason college football magazine, and I was sitting in DFW Airport yesterday reading that, and they had K-State pick sixth in the Big 12. Dalton Reisner was the only player that they had on all Big 12 first team or second team on offense. I think that that's pretty absurd. I think that K-State collectively is a very good team, but they've got a lot of very good parts, and it's not quite a team that fits the narrative of, well, it's just going to be a whole bunch of average players that come together to be better than the sum of their parts. There actually are some really talented athletes, and they should be more respected than that, and Tom Herman hasn't proven anything in Texas yet.
I was very disappointed the way that they spelled it all out, because I read in the opening paragraph before I'd even looked at the teams, it said K-State had the second most players on the All-Big 12 teams of anybody in the conference. They failed to mention, however, that Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, and Texas were all tied for first, which really that doesn't make it second. That would make K-State fourth, but
yeah.
Hey, semantics here. Speaking of those teams, next on the list, Alex Barnes was listed as the fifth or sixth best running back in the Big 12, according to their preseason All-Big 12 team, because they had two running backs per team, and he was third team All-Big 12.
No. No.
That was my favorite one. That was my favorite hot take of the whole thing. Simply no.
Well, and it's not just my belief in Alex Barnes. It's look at K-State's offensive line. I mean, this is a K-State team that set a new school record for yards per rush a year ago and returned almost every part of that offensive line. Plus, again, they should be playing an easier schedule. So as long as Alex Barnes is getting the touches, there is no way that he's not in the top, I would say, three or four of the Big 12 running back-wise.
That is one of the bigger question marks. Does he get the touches? But in all seriousness, you'd think that he probably has to. And, yeah, some of the picks. Part of the issue I had with it, too, is just there's not dominant running backs in the Big 12.
Right, who's on that
Joe
list?
Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, those guys are not there. Justice Hill and Justin Crawford were first team. Justice Hill from Oklahoma State, right. Justin Crawford, West Virginia. They both rushed for over 1,000 yards last year, albeit barely. Second team, Chris Warren from Texas and Terrence Williams from Baylor.
I just think, again, that's the Texas hype machine saying, well, the guy who backed up Deontay Foreman last year has to be, he's got to be great. Well, we don't know anything about him. Let's go with the guy who, what was that statistic that Alex Barnes gained 5 yards on, like, two-thirds of his carries last year?
68%.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Come on. Is that hot enough for you?
Yeah, well, how many times do we have to have Deontay Foreman rush for like 200 yards before you know his name is Deontay Foreman? It's like a sweeve.
Well, it wasn't spelled very well.
Okay. Bruce Weber and Gene Taylor are open to playing Wichita State.
Yeah. I think right now that's the right attitude to take, because K-State's non-conference schedule again this year is going to be very lackluster in terms of who they're playing at home. Right now, it would make a lot of sense to play Wichita State in a home-and-home, because it would get some butts in the seats of Bramlage in the non-conference. And this year, your quote-unquote headline game is Georgia, which is not ideal. In the period of time when K-State was playing a lot of marquee non-conference games at home, I don't think that it would be necessary. But right now, I would like to see it.
Especially with the fact that we find out it's Ole Miss that's the opponent in the Big 12 SEC Challenge. It's a fairly boring non-conference schedule again next
Georgia.
Year. I'm sorry, what did I say?
Ole Miss.
No.
They're basically interchangeable.
Yeah, they've been doing the SEC tour for the last few years, so pardon me on that one.
Yeah.
The only option, this was, I got a bit conspiracy theory-esque on this. The only option for incoming freshmen to get ICAT tickets now at K-State is to commit to 4 years of them. So if you're an incoming freshman, you cannot get ICAT tickets unless you lock yourself in for 4 years of it, which is $885.
What's the conspiracy?
I think it is a move to try and get more people long-term locked up so that you can make sure that you have those tickets sold, because there is a decent amount of uncertainty with men's basketball and football right now.
Okay. I could see that. I could see that. I was never, because, you know, I started doing the media thing right when I got to K-State, so I never went through that process. But are those normally an option for freshmen in the first place, or are they normally sold out?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but they're normally just one-year commitments and stuff.
Right, just a one-year commitment.
And it's only freshmen that have this rule.
Yes. So everybody else right now basically is like grandfathered in. You can still do it year by year. I mean, the only other thing I thought is if it's just a total tip of the cap to seniority, but I think there's got to be more to it than that. And by the way, I don't blame K-State for that at all.
Mm-hmm.
You can get people to do it, and it's smart.
I would only I would just say that if you're going to make the freshmen do that, at the very least, you should get you should throw them a bone and make it like a 15% to 20% discount doing it all 4 years versus you know what you would actually have to pay every single year.
It is a discount. You basically get 1 year free.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's fine then.
All right. We finish off hot take rapid fire here. Two quick ones on the Big 12 SEC Challenge. K-State will play, not Ole Miss, but Georgia for a third time in 4 years.
That's it.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was a very good one.
Frustrating because I know that K-State fans have been very very frustrated with the non-conference schedule lately. And, you know, I don't know if this is more to do with K-State making these decisions or if it's the Big 12 or if it's ESPN or what have you, but K-State needs a marquee name in Bramlage, and for the second year in a row, they are not getting anything close to that.
No Missouri, and most importantly, Michael Porter in the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Huge bummer. I don't think that you can really put together any tangible comparisons between the two leagues. Even if the Big 12 goes 8-2 in this Big 12 SEC Challenge, who cares if it doesn't involve arguably the best player in the country and the matchups that we want to see? We know that Texas A&M is going to lose to KU in Lawrence by 30. You know, we know that that Kentucky is going to go in and beat West Virginia and Morgantown. And those are the only games that really have much consequence as far as actually measuring up the leagues against each other.
Now, Kentucky-West Virginia is the only game I care about.
Right. So I just, again, I think that the Big 12 SEC Challenge in theory is a good idea, but they have executed it very poorly basically since the beginning, and it apparently is getting even worse on a year-to-year basis.
It's as lame as possible, basically. You took the words out of my mouth from yesterday. That's the hot take rapid fire, all the topics we covered this week. Now you have Tyler's thoughts on them. We have the match game at 5:10. You can't be serious at 5:25 with a short show today. When we come back, new sign of the times for the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Game.